for it to be 6:30.
All right. Just cargo short.
All right, if everybody can find their seats, it's 6 o'clock, so we're going to go out and get started. I want to welcome everyone. This is the first neighborhood meeting for a Type 1 General Plan Amendment, rezoning, and site plan to allow a 92-lot residential subdivision in Stone Canyon. We have pretty full room and about 10 participants online this evening. My name is Melini Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. I will also be the lead planning reviewer should this proposal move forward, and I'm the facilitator for tonight's meeting. So as a facilitator, my role is neutral, and my goal is to make sure everyone's voice is heard. Specifically, I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to have your questions addressed, your comments heard, but also maybe there's some potential to have a discussion about design solutions to help mitigate some of your concerns. Now, on the screen behind me, as well as passed out when you walked in, are a set of ground rules, because I need all of your help to make sure that this is a productive discussion tonight. The key takeaway from those ground rules is that everyone treats each other with respect, and that if you agree with others' comments, we do ask that you don't clap or speak out of turn, only because those interruptions do disrupt the conversation, and any type of inappropriate actions won't be tolerated. So we are scheduled to go to 7:30 this evening, and if it's your first time at Town Hall, there are restrooms as well as a drinking fountain just out the door and to your right. I also want to ask that everybody silence their cell phone if you haven't yet. And for those participating online, everyone's mic will be muted until the presentations are over. I will be giving more directions on how to participate online, but in the meantime, if you have any trouble with Zoom, please contact Michael Spates, Principal Planner, at 520-229-4812. Now, by a show of hands in this room, how many of you received a yellow postcard inviting you to the meeting? Wow, almost everyone. Great. So if you did not receive a postcard and you want to be invited to future meetings about this project, please make sure you sign in on the sign-in sheet by the front door before you leave so you can be added to our notification list. And for those online, if you did not receive a postcard inviting you to the meeting, please send your name and address to ask@orovalleyaz.gov, and we will also get you added. I also want to mention that if you haven't yet, to please go to ovprojects.com. There is a webpage dedicated to this project. And I do want to mention that if you've been to that page already, there's an informational video. And how many of you had a chance to watch that informational video? All right. So I can't emphasize enough that we are very early in the process. In fact, the town hasn't even received a formal application. And why I bring up that informational video is because tonight we actually have new information to share with you. There have been some changes since that informational video was posted that is included in the handouts that you received when you walked in. They've also been posted online. But we'll be walking through all that information tonight. Now for this project, because we are so early in the process, I can't emphasize enough that this is the best time for residents to effectuate change. It's during the neighborhood meeting process. Your feedback and comments truly help shape the proposal that will ultimately be considered by town council. So we really hope to be able to address your not only address your questions, but have time to have those discussions about potential design solutions. For this specific case, again, we haven't received a formal submittal, but we do anticipate one to come in soon. The town requires that all applicants have a neighborhood meeting before they submit so they can incorporate your feedback. Once we receive a formal submittal, staff will be working with the applicant on code compliance. And then their requests do require consideration by both the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council. Both of those meetings are public hearings that you will be invited to speak at. All right. So, for tonight's agenda, I'm first going to walk us through some background information about the project as well as the review process. Then I'm going to ask the applicant to come up and give us some more information about the proposal, but also the why and the what of their request. And I do want to establish that this is a request to develop private property. Therefore, it's the private property owner's responsibility to create, seek, and justify council approval, whereas it's the town's responsibility to provide due process, but this is not the town's application. After the applicant's presentation is the most important part, which is your turn. Again, we want to hear your feedback and questions. But I do ask that you hold all your questions and comments until after the presentations are done, as many may be addressed in our presentations. So I first want to orient everyone to where the property is located. It is highlighted in white on the screen and outlined in black. It's located north of Tortolita Mountain Circle and just west of Flint Peak Place, behind the main entrance gate to Stone Canyon, which is notated with a star. It is surrounded by other Stone Canyon neighborhoods, such as Stone Canyon 8 to the east, Stone Canyon 6 to the south, 4 to the north, and then the golf course, as well as the enclave at Stone Canyon, is located to the west. The applicant's requests include three separate yet related proposals. And all three must be approved for the proposed design to move forward. So I'm going to walk through all of these a little bit in detail, but the first request really only applies to areas 2 and 3, which are notated with a purple dot. And this is a general plan amendment to change the land use from resort golf and open space to low-density residential and open space. The subsequent request is directly associated with the first one, and it is a rezoning, also only applicable to areas 2 and 3, to change the zoning in those areas from resort to low-density residential. And the purpose of those first two applications are to develop the entire site using the Rancho Vistoso low-density residential standards. And that's where the third application comes in. It's what really brings everything together, as it's the site plan to show a cohesive design for a subdivision that has 92 lots. Now, there's quite a bit of history on the site, especially if you've lived in Stone Canyon for a while, you're probably aware of a lot of it. But the first area, Area 1, which is that southern portion, It's zoned low-density residential already. And this was established in 1987 when the Rancho Vistoso planned area development was adopted. So the applicant is proposing to develop this portion of the site within their existing property rights. Now, Area 2, which is that northwestern portion of the property, it's often referred to as the resort site. And the reason being is because it was zoned as resort in Rancho Vistoso in 1998, specifically for the development of a Ritz-Carlton. And the resort zoning does allow resorts as well as golf club uses, senior care, and attached housing units. Now, again, the applicant is asking to change the existing zoning rights to low-density residential to allow detached homes. And Area 3, which is the most eastern portion of the site, it is currently zoned R1 144. So this is a large lot zoning district. The minimum lot size is 3.3 acres. And this was zoned R1 144 back in 2002. Now, some history on this part of the site is it is already previously disturbed. It was graded a while ago when the Ritz-Carlton was going to develop. Which leads me to what was previously approved. So the Ritz-Carlton did subsequently get approved for development in 2001, although it's never built. Area 1, which is south of the Ritz-Carlton development, was excluded from that proposal. But some key facts that will carry over to this request is the Ritz-Carlton designed making sure to protect the environmental resources on the site. So if you're aware of the site, there's steep slopes, some drainage areas, as well as some significant saguaros. So that development did a good job of working around those items, which is a focus of a review for this proposal. What was on Area 2, which again is the western side, was the actual hotel itself. So that's outlined in blue on the slide. And the hotel had 320 rooms and a building height of 75 feet for a lobby. Now, I do want to state that the 75-foot building height is only allowed for a hotel lobby. And then also Area 3, as I had mentioned, was previously disturbed because it was approved for parking for the Ritz-Carlton at the time. So looking at that first application, that's a type 1 general plan amendment. So I want to take a moment to talk about what is a general plan. The general plan is a long-range policy document that was ratified by the voters in 2016 to inform decision-making and provide guidance. It includes a land use map as well. Currently, within the general plan, areas 2 and 3 have a land use of resort golf. And just as it sounds, it's intended for resort uses and golf club uses as well. Surrounding it, areas to this property are, low-density residential land use designations, as well as high-density residential just abutting to the east. And again, the proposal is to change the resort golf course land use to low-density residential. The open space that is shown in Area 2 will be maintained. And then subsequent, where the land use gives us that long-range guidance, the zoning is really what gives property owners their development rights. So this application is directly related to the first one, and their request is to change the zoning or their development rights on Areas 2 and 3 to low-density residential. So the existing zoning for Area 2 is resort, which I had already mentioned, and the existing zoning for Area 3 is currently R144. So some of the notable development standards are shown on the screen. It is surrounded by other residential zoning districts, such as R136, which is 36,000 square foot lots, medium density residential, as well as high density residential directly to the east. There's also some additional low density residential to the south. What they're proposing is to change just the resort zoning to low density residential. So again, the open space will be maintained. And then the third application is what brings all three areas together. So if application 1 and 2 are approved, then this proposed design can move forward because it's aiming to develop the entire site to low-density residential zoning standards. And so the preliminary concept that's shown on the screen hasn't been thoroughly reviewed for code compliance, and we do expect it to evolve through this public review process. But as of now, it shows 92 lots with 3 access points and a shared rec space as well. And again, the applicant is here and will be going into more details about their proposal. So all three requests will be reviewed for conformance with the general plan. And the general plan did anticipate that it would be changed throughout its lifespan. Therefore, it included an amendment criteria and process. And the reason being is the process is very robust in terms of the public outreach opportunities. It also includes an amendment criteria. So the Type 1 general plan amendment will be reviewed towards this criteria, which is to make sure it's in conformance with the vision, guiding principles, and goals of the general plan, and that the applicant's request appropriately addresses neighbor concerns. And in addition to the general plan, it will also be reviewed for compatibility to the area. So this includes the golf course on the west side, the large lots to the north and south, as well as the smaller lots to the east. And again, as I stated with the Ritz-Carlton, similar to that development plan, this one will also be reviewed for protection of the open space and environmental resources. I do want to mention that as part of the zoning, it does require that the gradable areas of the lots are shown early in the process so we can make sure that the rock outcrops and significant saguaros are protected. And then lastly, it will be reviewed to make sure it's a cohesive design. All three areas need to function as one subdivision with regard to lot, orientation, circulation, and having those shared common areas. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Rob Longacre, who is representing the private property owner. Mr. Longacre?
Good evening. Rob Longacre. I'm with the WLB Group. Just to give you some brief background on myself, I've been with WLB for 24 years, graduate University of Arizona, Landscape Architecture and Planning Program, right out of school. Started working with WLB doing plant salvage work, landscape plans, irrigation plans. Find myself today in front of all you folks doing rezoning work, and I've been doing rezoning work for probably the last 20 years. So thanks for coming out tonight. May I ask how many people were at the meeting, the first meeting that we had? Okay, great, quite a few. Also, want to introduce tonight Nathan Price Grobstein is with me tonight. He is under contract to purchase the property and then develop it. And then Liz Madsen is there on the side of the room. She works with me in the planning department at WLB. So thanks to Malini for putting together a very thorough presentation. So well done. I'm going to go over some things about the project, try not to be repetitive with regard to the things that Malini said. So a few slides for you tonight. This slide shows you the character of the property. Very special site. Stone Canyon is obviously a very special place. Tremendous physical resources, boulder outcroppings, saguaros, views both near and far. So a beautiful piece of property. Part of the planning process on this property was to respect those natural elements of the site and work around them. Not only that, but the town, the town code has very stringent standards to ensure that the most significant natural resources on a site are protected. So this site has been carefully designed to respect significant saguaros, rock outcrops, and other natural features on the property. Have people in the room actually seen the property? Have they walked the property? So you can appreciate what's out there. I won't actually dwell on this slide because Malini actually covered it. This was intending to show site context, and I think she did a thorough job in reviewing that. This slide also, I think Malini covered very well. It's addressing the three different development phases, so I'll move past this slide as well. Okay, so here is our site plan. And I wanted to point out, and the reason I asked who had attended the first meeting is we've actually made some changes to the plan that you see in front of you tonight. And I'll point out what those are. The two major changes that we've made, the first has to do with vehicular circulation. So the plan right now shows a connection. So at the main entrance to the project at the south end, previously, we did not make the connection shown on the plan to the east to connect with Tortolita Mountain Circle. And Malini told me not to do it, but I'm going to draw on this for a moment. So the road alignment that I'm discussing is right here. So it's this connection right here that we actually had not shown in the original plan. We looked at it further after some discussion, and I don't think we fully appreciated the reason for making that connection, but now it's very apparent that that connection is important. It provides a complete loop inside the main gate within Stone Canyon. So we've modified the plan to show that. And Malini, if you can educate me on how to erase it. See that. Wonderful. Thank you. All right, great. And then the second change that we made has to do with the resort property piece, which is phase two on the map. And the last time we spoke with you, we were talking about using the existing entitlements in the Rancho Vistoso PAD, which Malini covered. And one of the things that was permitted in, or is permitted in that zone, is attached housing product. So our plan previously, in our presentation to you previously, we were planning to do attached housing on that piece. But after some careful consideration, we did hear some feedback. Some weren't that excited about attached product. So we've changed course. And as Melanie mentioned to you tonight, we are now going to include that piece of property in the rezoning to rezone it away from resort district to low density residential in the Rancho Vistoso PAD, and with the intent of doing single family detached housing. So in effect, I'm seeing some nods and some thumbs up. So the entire project is now low density single family residential detached. The other thing that's occurring with that is that that will remove the entitlement that permits the resort. And I'm gathering from what I've heard that the resort and maybe even a senior living facility weren't, people weren't that excited about them, to say the least. So what this will do is this will change it, and single family residential will be permitted, and a resort would no longer be permitted. So we're excited about these changes. We think they're good for the plan, and I'm gathering that those in attendance tonight, or at least some, also might agree that they are good changes. So let me just take you through the plan a little bit and explain what you're looking at here. 92 lots. We changed our proposal. We had 94 lots previously. We're down to 92, and that's a byproduct of making the Tortolita Mountain Circle connection. Two lots were lost in phase one. The other elements you see on this plan, the gray areas, of course, those are the local streets that will serve the lots. The lots are a light tan. The green areas that you see mostly in the center, that is open space that's been designated. And then there's some, it's difficult to see, but there's some light brown hatching that's on the plan. And those are what's called no-build areas. They primarily consist of some significant natural feature, in this case, most likely rock outcrops and boulders. We're also showing three different areas in this plan that are outlined in an orange dashed line. So what's happening with those, and we mentioned in our first meeting, is that part of the plan for this is to include an additional recreation area. We understand that the additional recreational facilities in Stone Canyon don't seem to be adequate to serve the existing population, let alone additional homes. So Nate has been working and has been in discussion with both the HOA and Arcus Golf about making some plans to include additional recreational facilities that would be open and available to the entire Stone Canyon community. We're showing three areas just because we're not sure exactly where it will be yet. There's several factors involved with that decision. So we're working through that. Once we get a better idea of the final site, we will inform folks. We're also working through what type of amenities might be in the recreational facility. Right now, both active and passive recreational facilities, probably a pool similar to the existing one, and then most likely another community building. But once those details are determined, we will share that with everybody in the Stone Canyon community. All right, let me just touch briefly on the different phases. So phase one is in the southern portion of the property, and the reason that that's the initial phase is there's a couple reasons. One is that we're going to use the existing zoning for that piece, which is low-density residential in the Rancho Vistoso PAD, already entitled, and we can move forward with platting and improvement plans to develop it. It's also nearest to existing infrastructure, so it makes sense to develop that piece first. That piece will consist of 21 houses. The minimum lot size is 1/3 of an acre. That's regulated by the Rancho Vistoso PAD. Average lot size on this plan is about 27,000 square feet. All right, we also changed, I should have mentioned this, we did make a third change. It's not as significant, but we changed the phases. Phase two used to be phase three, and phase three used to be phase two. We just switched them. And it was mostly related to our change in course in the type of development for the resort piece. But phase two, it's about 35 acres. That property will have, we're proposing 47 units in that area. Again, the same minimum lot size applies, but our plan shows an average lot size of about 20,000 square feet. And then phase three consists of about 16 acres, and our plan shows 24 single-family homes, and lot sizes are just under 20,000 square feet for that piece as well. I should also mention that the Stone Canyon CC&Rs will apply to this property, as will the design guidelines for Stone Canyon. And as many of you may know, or all of you may know, that those design guidelines regulate such things as building architecture, landscape architecture, and also govern construction regulations. So they will apply to this piece as well. All right, a few more slides, and then we're going to open it up for your questions and comments. This slide is just intended to give you some flavor for the architecture that is proposed. Nate is working with an architect to come up with some conceptual ideas and concepts for the architecture of the homes, but whatever is designed ultimately will be consistent with the existing character of homes in Stone Canyon. And will, of course, obviously comply with the Stone Canyon design guidelines. And then right now we anticipate that the homes will probably be in the range of 2,500 to approximately 5,000 square feet in size. All right, timing of development. Let me just give you a brief idea as to timeframes we're looking at for development of the property. So phase one, we anticipate will require approximately 9 to 12 months to move through the entitlement process and move through the plan preparation process that's required by the town of Moore Valley in order to construct the site. So we anticipate that construction for phase one will begin sometime in 2023. Phase two and phase three, a little longer process there because we're doing a rezoning on that piece. So we anticipate submitting our rezoning application, general plan amendment application, probably next month, in November. I'm just getting ahead of myself. And then the start date for construction is a little hard to determine at this point. It depends on how long it takes to move through the rezoning process. It also depends a bit on future market conditions, which is a little challenging to predict. Okay, well, that concludes our presentation. Again, thanks for letting us present the project to you. We're mostly here tonight to listen to your thoughts and comments and respond to your questions. I'm available. I know Melina's available, as Nate's available. So please let us know what's on your mind. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Longacre. So again, now is the most important part of the meeting. We wanted to turn it over to you. And it is, again, the applicant's charge to justify their proposal, so they will be answering most of your questions, but staff's available as well to help assist. And we do hope to not only address your questions, but hear your comments and feedback, because as you've already witnessed, your feedback definitely has the opportunity to effectuate change and help shape the proposal that will ultimately be considered by council. So to do this, my goal is to get through as many questions and comments as we can. If you have more than one question or comment, that is fine. But I do ask that you be succinct for the first one. That way we can at least give everybody an opportunity to speak. And of course, if we have time, we'll go back around. We do have people joining us online. So I will be toggling back and forth between both groups until we're end our evening tonight. So just a couple directions. For those, if you're online, you will need to raise your virtual hand. And to do this, there should be a symbol as shown on the screen at the top or bottom of your screen device where you can raise your hand. Once your hand is raised and we call on you, you will be asked to unmute yourself. Please make sure your device is also unmuted. If you're joining us by phone, you'll need to press star 9 to raise your hands. Now, all raised hands are received in the order in which they're raised. And if at any time you are having problem raising your hand or any issues with Zoom, please contact Michael Spaeth, Principal Planner at 520-229-4812. Now, for those of us joining, you can just raise your regular hand. And once you raise your hand, Mr. Kyle Packer will walk over to you with a microphone. We do ask that you wait for the microphone to get to you to ask your question or comment, because that is the only way that those online can hear, and they may have the same question. Now, also, Mr. David Laws will be scribing down some notes with your questions and comments. These will be scribed into a neighborhood meeting summary, which will help staff formulate our recommendation, but it'll also be forwarded to decision makers to help them with their decision. Now, the meeting summary, as well as a recording of this meeting and the presentations from tonight, will all be posted online at ovprojects.com probably early next week. So with that, I want to just, if you have a question in the audience, please raise your hand or your virtual hand. Great. So if we can go to the lady in black, please.
Hello, my name is Mo Chambers. I live in Boulder Vista, just adjacent. I really want to thank you for incorporating so much of the feedback that you've received. And I want to, it's definitely appreciated by the neighbors. I want to underline the importance of keeping Tortolito Mountain Circle going through, because the temporary gate at Flint Peak to access the homes back there is just not, it's overwhelmed, and with future buildouts and this project, it's not going to handle it. So this is great. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other, oops, sir?
Hi, I'm Brooke Asbell. I live just inside the Flint Peak Gate. And just to tag on to Mo, I have a question. So will the construction traffic now be routed through the construction gate?
Mr. Longacre, do you know where how construction traffic will access the site?
We actually did talk about that in the first meeting. Construction traffic will not come in through the main gate. Right now, actually, construction traffic primarily comes in through the gate to the west. That's the construction gate. So I think the goal is really to keep as much construction traffic coming in that gate as possible. I know that there is some construction traffic that's using Flint Peak Gate. I presume I've been out there and I've seen it.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of construction traffic using that gate right now, and it's all the homes being built, which is fine. But when we punch this through, which I assume is going to be done the first part of phase one, there's no reason for that, for all that traffic to go through the Flint Peak Gate, which was an unmanned gate. It was never intended to be a full-time gate, to be an entrance and exit gate like it is now. And it's a nightmare. I mean, ask any of the board members. It doesn't work. It's breaking down all the time. The communications to the main gate is a problem. It's going to be a huge issue, and I brought this up at the first meeting. If you guys are not routing that construction traffic through the construction gate, it's going to be a nightmare. And I don't see how this project can work if you're going through the Flint Peak Gate, which, in my opinion, should be closed entirely.
Okay. Thank you for your comment.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? If we go to the gentleman up here, and we'll come right back to you, sir.
I'd like to thank Nate for all the work he's done. I can attest that he's a great builder. And I've told him many times that he keeps the cleanest construction site of any builder in Stone Canyon. And Nate, we fully support you. We just are looking for a few tweaks, okay? One of them is the concrete washout area. And people in our neighborhood know exactly what I'm referring to. If you use that as an entrance, it's going to really affect the house that is right on that corner, number one. And it'll go, the current road up North Stoneview Place goes in front of his house And if you use a concrete washout, it's going to be right in his backyard in the back. So I wish you would really consider making that a cul-de-sac. That would solve a lot of the problems. And I'd like to piggyback on the Flint Peak comments being made so far. Thank you.
And just to clarify, which lots were you talking about for a cul-de-sac? We just want to make sure it's clear.
That's the area.
And Mr. Longacre, what are your thoughts on, you wanted that part of the road to be a cul-de-sac, sir? Is that what you were asking?
Am I asking?
Yes. For that Flint Peak, as it says on here, access from Flint Peak Gate, to not be an access to the reserve and to be made a cul-de-sac within the reserve. Because as Brooke said, if we're going to use the Flint Peak Gate for access to this at all, it's going to be a problem, construction or anything. So with Tortolita Mountain Circle cutting through now, I think that alleviates having to have that as an entrance from Flint Peak Gate.
Okay. And does that kind of, would that address your concern too, sir?
Concrete washout is what we're referring to. Yeah, that's within the community, deeper within the community. Did you circle that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see.
Yeah, I deleted
it's clearly here.
There.
Yeah, that's it. That's the that's the point right there.
We've just to respond to that a little bit. We have been looking at that road ever since we've been designing the plan, and you know, it does provide a second access point, you know, out of this property, you know, for other vehicles, emergency vehicles, et cetera. We did, you know, consider it could be a cul-de-sac there, too. I mean, it could be a cul-de-sac with emergency access only. That is also possible. So I guess we haven't maybe finally concluded how that would operate, but I hear your thoughts, and we'll consider those as we go through our planning process.
Sorry, did you have a question about the same topic? Or?
I'm just curious, is it a requirement to have that access? Because
there are a lot of neighborhoods in Stone Canyon with only one access. Mm-hmm. So what is the requirement to have another one? Tuscan Estates, there's only one. Stonegate, there's only one. And currently, the entire Stone Canyon beyond the four-way stop sign going to the clubhouse, there's only one way in and one way out. So is there a requirement, or is it a new requirement that the other ones didn't require?
Just curious.
Well, fortunately, we have Mr. Laws here. He could probably respond to that question.
Sure, I can provide a little bit of feedback. So typically the fire department's going to weigh in on that. If you get over like 30 homes or more with single access, typically they're going to want a secondary access. So as Rob mentioned, maybe that would be an emergency egress. That way they have two ways in and out. The other thing that the fire department will do if you don't have that access is require fire sprinklers potentially in the homes. So there's a couple things they look at there. Well, again, it depends on, you know, fire sprinklers depend on when your homes were built. So if you don't have fire sprinklers today, it depends on when your home was built and the specific conditions of where your home was constructed. I'm just saying, typically, you know, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves with respect to the fire department requirements for this because we haven't seen, you know, this formally. But typically, when we get over 30 homes, you know, the fire department's preference is to have a secondary access.
Can I ask you just to make sure I fully understand, is your concern that you're trying to minimize the amount of traffic that would come out of that location?
Sorry, one moment. We need to wait for the mic to come to them because people are getting partial. And, sir, I do want to get your question, but if you don't mind, we need to wrap this discussion up.
Trying to clarify. So the assumption is it says access from Flint Peak Gate. So the issue is really Flint Peak Gate. And now that you're cutting through Tortolita Mountain Circle, you have two entrances.
All right. So what could happen here is, and this is probably a byproduct of the fact that we just changed the plan, is that someone could come out of that access point. Sorry, I have to make sure I don't violate the distance from the mic, because I'll get in trouble with Malini. But someone could come out of there and make a right on Tortolita Mountain Circle now that we've connected it and come out through phase one. That's entirely possible. So they may not necessarily go to the Flint Peak Gate.
But we did hear your concerns, and I think definitely through the review process we can look into options to help reduce mm-hmm. some of the traffic going through Flint Peak. And I do want to thank you for that discussion on possible solutions to your concerns. But if we could go back and get the gentleman who's been patiently waiting.
Hi, I'm David Ottewell, and we live on the west side of Boulder Vista, where this road would connect. And when we bought the lot, we understood that that road was going to go through someday. That was pretty obvious. But I think the Flint Peak Gate is a bigger issue than just these 90-plus lots. Mm-hmm. There's also the whole east side of Stone Canyon. If we close the Flint Peak Gate, all those homes will have to come back around all the way back to the main gate. That's a lot of traffic. And that's going to happen anyway just for them to go to the golf course and the rec center. So I disagree respectfully with the other opinions on the Flint Peak Gate, but I think it needs to stay open for homeowners to go in and out.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and I don't have any people raising their hands yet online, so I do want to remind folks, if you're online and you have a question or comment, to please make sure you raise your virtual hand. And if you're having any trouble doing so, contact Michael Spaeth at 229-4812. And, sir, we'll go right over here to this gentleman.
Thank you. Okay, hold it. Thanks. You going to hold it or am I going to hold it? Perfect, you are.
I'll hold it for you.
Appreciate it. So a couple things. Number one, Nate, really nice job making modifications. Number two, I thought I'd be the best dressed guy here. You slayed me again. So for those I haven't met, I'm John Howe. I'm with the board. And just want to get a couple things out for discussion and just for all of us to have on the record. When we saw the proposal, there were kind of six things we were worried about, Rob and Nate. Just a little further down. Is that okay? We know each other from before, so we're very intimate. So the proposal that we first saw, lot sizes were coming down, concern. Attached homes, concern. Building height going up, a concern. The road, a concern. Recreational site, a concern. And then finally, we still have this thing called Scrivener's error that has to get addressed. So number one, thank you for the detached. That's super important. Number two, there is still a request to go higher, I think 30 feet. And I think it's said, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, that's consistent with CCNRs. It's not. CCNRs are, I think, 19 feet and can go to 22. So right. That's an issue from our point of view representing the board that still exists. Road, thank you for the completion. In all these things that are negotiations and horse trading, that road was common area, right? We own that to begin with. So that wasn't right. Actually up for debate. So I'm glad it came through, but that had to happen. So thank you for that. Hold on, now I can't see. Recreational sites. Thank you. Three there. I think we want to understand which of those makes sense, because if you do phase one first, Rob, Nate, then it'd be great to get the recreational site in first. I suspect you're going to want to get more lots done before you do the recreational site. Economically, I could be wrong, but we should kind of understand that. And if it's really the kind of the mid or the top, let's try to understand that. And then obviously then you're going to lose some lots and your 92 goes down to something else. So we should understand that. So they're proposed right now. We as the board would like to see them conveyed over to the board. That's code for, you know, thank you very much. If we could work on that would be fantastic. And then I think the last thing is we do have this thing called a Scrivener's error. For those who have not paid as much attention to it, it is a legacy thing that unfortunately Nate has kind of it's landed on him. If this does everything we said, it's a moot issue. It can go away. in a world where real estate deals happen, it takes 10 years to do this. Sometimes in 5 years, the world looks different. And then the guy in 5 years says, I'm going to live with what the piece of paper says. And if we don't resolve Scribner's error, we can't go forward. That is pending litigation that we got to get resolved. Can't stress it enough. One last nit, just from a learning as you have kind of laid this out. And you gave a vision for what you thought the homes would look like. This is now low density. Low density in our community overall is code for custom. High density tends to be what I would call production home. So by definition, when we call this LDL low density, actually, that's my cholesterol, so it's not low LDL. It's low density housing. Sorry, I'm working on the cholesterol thing. So when you go low density in our CC&Rs right now, those are custom lots. So we need, or custom built. So we need to make sure that there's clarity on that, and it doesn't end up looking more production. So statements for you to think about. Again, great work listening to everybody and coming back, but still some hanging chads that we got to get resolved before we go forward. And the Scrivener's error thing is super critical. That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Long, do you have any responses to any of that?
Can I ask for some opinions about the rec areas?
Yeah.
If you don't mind. So we're showing three areas. When we made the Tortolita Mountain Circle connection and we now show one of the rec area options there, can I just get some feedback about what people think about having it there? You drive through the main gate, you'd see the rec area on the right. I think it would be pretty spectacular and special looking. What do people think about that location? You think that would be a good location for a new rec area? It's easily accessible right off of Tortolita Mountain Circle.
Maybe to assist with the conversation, can you outline all three options for folks? Because it's a little hard to see. Okay. So it looks like one is right near the entrance, and the other two are further up into the subdivision.
Right. There's different aspects with each one and different reasons for putting them there. So two and three started getting into further into the site. They're maybe a little more secluded and adjacent to some pretty neat and spectacular natural features. You start getting some golf course views, different dynamics. So, you know, that's one of the things we're weighing here is, you know, where really is the best spot from that perspective. Also, the other thing to consider is access and circulation. If people in the community, I mean, how many people here would use additional recreational facilities? All right, to make it easy to get to. Sure, okay, so a lot of people would use them. All right, so make it easier for people to get to. All sorts of factors. So,
Does anybody have a high preference or comment regarding the rec area? We'll go here and then over to you.
Sorry. I kind of think the people living in the reserve would want us not to have to come all the way in. But, and I've not looked at these different sites, and it's probably dependent on what it's going to actually be. I kind of like the idea of having nice views from wherever it is, and so maybe two is the best, maybe my favorite. I don't know enough information. That's just from there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for providing some feedback. And, sir?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jeff. Just a couple things real quick. I think it may be too early to, like, really get too hung up on an area, only because there's lots of conversations with HOA, with Arcus, and Nate. Each one of those sites have terrific attributes. It just depends on kind of what that end game really looks like. But I think the point of having some optionality in there as it goes through the planning process is probably the most important thing. Sure. You know, so nobody gets hung up tied to one particular place yet until it's really defined on what the use could be.
Sure. No, I appreciate the comment. Just trying to get some guidance for Mr. Longacre.
Thank you.
All right. Other questions or comments? If we can go to this gentleman.
One that'll be quick. Sorry. As some of you may know, I'm the president of Friends of Stone Canyon. And, Melini, we've met about the prior proposal, which was a senior care facility, and I won't belabor that, hopefully, dead horse. But I think this is a huge improvement over it, which we hopefully all agree on. I know there's a diversity of opinion among the members of Friends of Stone Canyon, and I'm not speaking to any of the detailed comments. Everybody should make their specific comments. Mine is a general one. This, to our mind, is really a victory to have it turn out as residential development at reasonable density. And again, not trying to speak against any individual comment.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
All right, I'm going to make sure one more time, if anybody online has a question, to please raise your virtual hand. Give it a couple minutes, and of course, if anybody else here has a question or comment. Oh, we have one. If we can have Michaela LaCourte unmuted, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I just wanted to comment and say thank you to everybody at Oral Valley for all your hard work and organizing these meetings. They've been very helpful. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. All right, well, hearing no more comments, I just want to again go through the review process and opportunities for you guys to stay engaged. Again, we haven't received a formal submittal, but we do anticipate one. And the design, as it goes through the planning process, may evolve a little bit, and we'll definitely look into the rec area location as well as the traffic or the Flint Peak traffic as well, and opportunities there. Once they submit and it's gone through the staff review process, there will likely be a second neighborhood meeting. And then again, it is considered by the commission and council, which you will be notified about those meetings as well. If you have any questions or comments in the meantime, please feel free to send an email to or call our constituent services coordinator at ask@oravalleyaz.gov. Again, we will be updating the project website on OV projects for this proposal. So once we receive those formal submittals, they'll be posted online. The neighborhood meeting summary from tonight will also be posted online, as well as a recording of tonight's meeting. And I want to thank you all for coming out and having a great discussion tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, thank you.